All right, Luke 13, verse 9. It's talking about the fig tree that was dug and trenched and dunged. I'm going to let it go another year. And it says in verse 9, if it bear fruit, well. If not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Fruit is the word karpos. And we're going to spend a little time on it. It's the fruit of the trees. It's the fruit of fields. It's the fruit of man, of beast. It's the seed producing seed. And so let's go to Matthew 7. Talk about this fruit business. Jeff, before you sit down, will you unplug the refrigerator? Just remember to replug it back in again. You can hear the quiet.
That is stressful.
Start
where?
Verse 13 of Matthew 7. Enter ye in at the straight gate, or narrow. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire, whereby by their fruits ye shall know them. This is kind of important, obviously. And then it goes on, it's continuing that idea. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then will I confess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now to me the best translation of iniquity is self-seeking. And where it says I never knew you, it means that you're not of the same genetic history. You're different. I never knew you. I never even saw you. Now the word evil, for evil is... It's poneros, evil fruit is poneros karpa. And poneros just means labor or toil. And this has to get into our heads somehow, some way, that we are to enter the rest. We cease from all our own labor. Let's go to Matthew 6. I want to show you something there.
It says we cease from all our labors as labors and other works, saying the worries and concerns of mind.
No, it means toil. How can it mean that? How can you exist? Let's go to Matthew 6. Let's start at verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? The word for evil there, if your eye is evil, is again poneros. Toil. And we got to go back to the all take no thought, take no thought, take no thought. Your Father knows that you have need of these things. Well, how do we live? The evil tree cannot bear good fruit. Evil, the tree that is working. Can you imagine a tree working? Can you imagine a branch working? The branch is connected to the vine. The point of it is we must enter a position where we are similar to the, if you will, the vegetable kingdom. Where we grow because of the seed, and to the seed alone, where we sustain, are sustained by the seed alone. Now that's to me what everything in this Bible says. And the question everybody has to have, because I've heard it 10,000 times, well, how can I live? And the answer basically is it's not your business. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Now, it's only therein that you have the love, the joy, and the peace beyond all understanding. That's the other side of the cross. No self-consciousness, no awareness. Just joy unspeakable. That's the fruit of the cross. Anybody have any response?
Yeah, I have a response to the first verse you read. Really struck me that it says that they would cast out demons in his name.
Amen.
Still didn't know them. You know, that's,
didn't know.
That's profound, quite scary. I mean, that doesn't like, make you think. I don't know what will. That's, I mean, they were doing things that worked in his name.
But he didn't know them.
Yeah. Oh, man. Wow. And also, part about not my own.
You've been bought with a price.
That gets really tricky when you have small kids that need to be taken care of. It's very easy to be persuaded to think that I'm in control and I need to take care of those kids. It just leads me to think all kinds of things I need to start doing.
Well, my point is... again, I would, I'm not, I don't mean to sound different or anything, but nothing that I have taught was taught to me by anybody. The fact that each one of us is the instead of Christ or the Antichrist. The fact that all of the feasts reveal Jesus Christ. The fact that the churches have to be small. I mean, all of the things that we do that are different, I didn't learn them from, they were confirmed from the scriptures. But that's not where they came from, and I can't explain that. There's nothing that I'm saying today that I didn't say 35, whenever we started, however long ago that was. Now, that didn't make it right, but I think that over the years we've seen the scriptures that we've studied and proven and argued and gone through, and it's to me it's black or white. It's not gray. It's not. There's no neutral ground. We're either living by faith or we're not. The just shall live by his faith. What would it look like? The only model we have for what it would look like is the first century church. 12 men turned the world upside down. Well, that was for different. No, that was. It's the same situation we're in now. You know, now we have the pastor of that church in Korea that had 150,000 members is now in jail, indicted for fraud. I mean, just the people we investigate that are teaching that, it's just crazy. They're casting out demons. They're supposedly healing people. They're... We must get down to that core place of self. And that you don't have the right to yourself, any part of you. Now, that is the scariest thought in the universe. You are not your own. You've tried to be in control. The only reason that you're here is because you're trying to be in control hasn't worked.
I was thinking about the dilemma that poses, that we should be in the rest. Activities should cease, and then what happens? We got families, we got kids, we got obligations, blah blah blah. And yet the scriptures are clear about being in the rest and ceasing from toil and all that. And then the answer is given: seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So there, if you want to do something, do that. That's about the only do there. I think is valid.
Well, it says if you're going to think on these things. You're going to speaking to yourselves in songs and hymns and spiritual songs.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
then does that pay the rent?
But if that's not your business.
Well, actually, it is a little bit of your business.
Okay.
Don't you think?
No. That's not what it says.
Well, when you're.
Take no thought for your life. Take no thought for what you're going to eat. Take no thought for what you're going to wear. Enter the rest, enter the rest, enter the rest. Cease from your own labors, cease from your own labors, cease from your own labors. Now, I'm not saying you can do it or it's easy, but I'm saying to you, if you're not doing it, don't justify it. That's all I'm saying.
Part of the point here is that you labor to enter into that rest, so there's something going on.
Yeah, you're fighting the evil one. That's you're battling the evil one.
Exactly.
And the only battle, and that again, I'm keep saying to you, the scriptures assume, but they make provision for not. The scriptures assume that that is dealt with at your baptism, that you are buried, that you have the mind of Christ. If not, then it says, the weapons that we're warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every single thought to the obedience of Christ. And once you've done that, be in a readiness to revenge all disobedience instantly. Never justifying, never justifying, never justifying.
Risk of certainly then would kick myself in the ass. One place you can say is that that doesn't pay the rent, and then you're involved in cause and effect, and it's my responsibility, and involved in a lot of other things. The other place says you do what's set before you to do. The results can be the exact same thing. I wish I was better at doing what's set before you to do, and less good at trying to figure out how to make it work.
All I'm saying, and you got to hear this. I don't. This is just as impossible to me as it is to you. All I'm saying is, if you're not doing it, don't justify it. Don't say there's places where I'm my own business. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. You're dead. If you think it's your own business, it comes from the same one that fell at the garden, or the same place. And so that's why repentance is always the only answer. It's not reading a different, you know, there's no escape from it except repentance. And repentance isn't say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I'm doing that." It's simply, I don't understand. I don't know how I can live by what you say, Father, or what's said in the scriptures. So it has to be revealed. I can't justify what I'm doing. That's the lowest seat. Then He works. This is not common sense. This is the antithesis of common sense. This is not prudent. It's the antithesis of prudent. That's why it says, "I thank you, Father, that you've hid these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them unto babes." What babe? The babe before self-awareness. Once you lose self-awareness by seeing it is the essence of sin. It is sin. And then if you're without faith, I can't do that. And you say, "Father, forgive me." Or, "I don't know. If I understand this, then I have to stay in a constant state of repentance. I can never again return to cause and effect. I can never again return to thinking I have a job or I have something to do." Now, none of this makes any sense. But I beg of you, take the lowest seat if it doesn't. Because once you justify, then I don't know. It just seems like the worst possible thing you can do.
The taking the lowest seat has been a tremendous relief to me lately, because there's times when I can't even conceive of. Quite frankly, honestly, I cannot conceive of being in a position of no self-awareness. It's just an ongoing insidious habit that seems like will never end. And you know, that's just me being as honest as I know how to be. And so my prayers have changed to just forget. I just can't do it, so whatever happens is going to happen here. And then there's certain moments when that doesn't seem to be so for some unknown reason. I can almost fathom being in a position like Shannon at certain moments and think I accidentally fall into those into that position in certain moments, which is great and beautiful. It usually happens around my kids, I would say. But this thing about this, well, just for example, a job, there must be a fine line that we're talking about here that defines it as irksome, laborious toil, or just something that's in you to do and you do it. Because I'm obviously not going to go home and not go to work. And Gary's obviously not going to go home and not go do his remodeling. Because it's just in us to do. Because we have kids and we just do it. But there's some kind of fine line here we're talking about. You know, whether it's actually me doing it or do, and I do it without thinking, and it's a joy, and there's just got to be that fine line that we're talking about. It's hard to pinpoint.
I totally agree. It's a knife edge.
Yeah.
And that knife edge is it's a place where there's never the only. It's hard to explain, but it's the only place where there's true faith, because it's the same thing as you know, if I laid a board, you know, a 2x4 on the ground and asked you to walk across it, you could do it with ease. And if I laid a 2x4 across the chairs, you could do it, but you'd start to wobble. But if you did it between across the Grand Canyon, fear would take over. Now, what's the difference between having that 2x4 or 4x8, I don't care, on the ground and walking across it versus having it up? There's no difference. And in fact, that's what the people that do the tightrope kind of things, that's what they all say. They have to lose self-awareness or they can't do it. Now, that in the arts and in many other disciplines, that place is called bliss. And it's God's desire that we be in that place of bliss all the time, because that place of bliss is on the mercy seat. And if the seeing of toil or the seeing of responsibility causes self-awareness, and when self-awareness arises, all I'm asking you to do is say, Father, forgive me, and see that this place of bliss, this place of total lack of awareness of self, total lack of prudence, or is what this scriptures are talking about. But if you justify in some way that position of no faith, then the book is closed. You can't because you can never move beyond it.
It brings you to life when you justify it. It
right,
it
brings this thing to life.
Pride takes over.
Right, you become that. You return to the child of the whore. You return to a vessel of wrath instead of a vessel of mercy. Now, I pray that all I'm saying to you is again, I spend much more time now in that place of no self-awareness. I probably spend more time in the place of no self-awareness in the first few minutes, days, and weeks after my conversion experience. But then it went back. As I told you, I started thinking about it. I don't like this. And then, it's all God's business, but it's only he only takes over in your humility, in your emptiness, and you're saying, I got to give this back to you, Father. I don't know how to do this. I can't. There's something about this I can't handle. But this is what has to happen in the midnight hour, in the quiet times. It has to be part of you giving that back, not justifying your doing it. Is that communicating?
Well, I was listening to Mike, and I think of surrender, turning away from self. Death, abandonment, whatever, all those are pretty much the same thing. And through that, Christ is revealed in me. And I would like to think that because of that, I choose a life of love. Life is a labor of love, that sounds trite, versus a labor of toil. What we face daily, I think it's our reactions to what's thrown at us each day, that we create all of this toil and angst, and expectations are never met. People don't say what we want. And so maybe it sounds trite, but that revelation would be, life is a labor of love, not labor of toil.
Well, life isn't a labor, and love isn't a labor. It's abandonment of self. He that will come after me, let him abandon himself, pick up his cross, two commands. And the other is in a tense which means that's the follow me. The follow me is in a tense that means those are the result of abandonment and picking up the cross. I remember the first time I talked about the word abandon or deny. Deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. That was just as controversial back then as it was to now. Abandon yourself. Deny yourself. Denies apodiamide, means totally abandoned, have no consciousness of. But this all can only happen when you see something and you see the vanity of everything else. Because if otherwise, there's going to be constant little shiny things that draw you away from it. But when it happens, then you say, forgive me, Father, and return. Well, that's because you use the word labor. Labor is toil. And love is the automatic of the in Christ position. Christ is. He doesn't give. He is peace. He is joy. He is wisdom. He is all these things. He is abandonment. He is everything. So if you're not in that position, the only way in is repentance. Bring forth fruit suitable for repentance. Ever and always, that's the only thing. All right, think on these things. Muse on it. If you want, Selah on it.
Selah.
I'm just kidding. Private joke between me and Gary.
That
song.
Psalms or
Selah? Well, the one in Psalm where it says Selah?
Yeah.
In the original Greek, sila meant take the pause.
The original Hebrew?
Yeah.
Pause and consider.
Yeah.
Remember that's what you said.
No, it's a musical. It's the instruction to the musicians to pause. That's what sila means.
Pause and consider. Can't leave that out.
Well, that's not what it means in the original. That's what the modern people have said.
Well,
the original
is
just
No,
it's fine. I'm not saying it's anything wrong with it. I'm just saying the original meaning was the instruction to the musician.
I got it now. You had said it earlier. I had it set in my brain. That was the definition.
Take a big guy.